Greg Smith, bassist, Ted Nugent's band. Get to work here, my good friends. Welcome to Article 5 Live. My name is JD. This is February 21st, 2021, or 02212021. Be a long time before we get that designation again, right? So, very interesting indeed. I want to start out by talking to you guys about what kind of trouble we're in. You can see the crawl. I want to get rid of the crawl. I'm going to get rid of it. And I'm going to get rid of that. And I'm going to say to you, once again, welcome. Coming to you live from the radio bunker somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona. It's Article 5 Live. I'm JD, your host. And we're in trouble. What kind of trouble are we in? Well, the state of our being as a nation is so screwed up that even the people that put Joe Biden in and his minions are wondering, what the hell do we just do? He just took my job. I've got no water. I've got no electricity. I can't get to the store. This is not going to end well. Exactly. So what we have is a bunch of psychopathic technocrats at the top of massive corporations that run all the governments in the world, especially and including the United States of America now. And if you think that's a good thing, that Big Pharma, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg's minion of Bill Gates, if you think that's a good thing, you know, any time in human history when civilizations, all the power is concentrated in a few people, lots of heads get lopped off and blood runs in the street. And that's where we're headed. Ironically, at this point in our political evolution, our best course is to stay calm, stay peaceful, try kindness, love, understanding, be as Christ-like as humanly possible, and that level obviously varies for each one of us as humans. In my case, it's very, very difficult to be anything like Christ. So, you know, but I try. Now, and that goes for, you know, non-Christians too, because here's the deal. The Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule are not just for Christians. Because if you don't operate by those basic principles, you are in a collision course with all your brethren and sisters here on this planet. So, you know, I'm not trying to get theological on you. What I'm trying to say is, treat other people how you would like to be treated. If you want to be treated like you're a asshole, then treat people like you are one, and that's what you're going to get back. Okay? Now, we got some moron on here already, is there? Oh, F Trump. Well, listen, this isn't about Trump. Trump's gone. Why don't you idiots on the left get over that, okay? Because he's not even there no more, all right? So I don't know what the hell your gig is with F Trump, dumbass. You know, we can only daydream that Trump is still there. I mean, the new Q thing is, don't trust the plan, trust the man. That's the new Q saying. Jesus. God help us. These people don't give up, do they? Actually, Q is a government deep state psyop that has some level of truth to it that led many good people down that path. And it's about time those people wake up to the fact that they've been had. But many people's human ego will not allow them to admit that. I'm sorry to say. All right. And prove me wrong. You know, if March 4th comes around and miraculously Donald Trump declares himself president of the American Republic and that the American corporation is defunct and Joe Biden is the CEO of a defunct corporation, well, you know, I'll savor every bite of that crow if I have to eat it. But I think it's very highly unlikely, unfortunately. So you Q folks, whatever makes you get, whatever gets you through tonight, okay? But as long as you got your storable food and your water and your shelter and your ammunition, you know, think whatever you want. Anyhow, you guys, welcome. I love each and every one of you that take the time out of your night to tune in with your kindred spirit here, JD, from the Radio Bunker. And thank you so much. Many of you people have been listening to me for years. Many of you people, I have people in Israel. I have people in Australia. I have people over in England. I have people in Germany listening to this program. Thank you for the emails, by the way. And I want to thank you guys for even being there through all the clamp down on my distribution. Miraculously, there's still a few of you that can get notifications and come on and join me on Sunday evenings. So I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you. And rather than rant through the entire hour, I do want to play a video for you that is really quite prescient. So to illustrate what I was talking about, these people want us to kill each other because it's far easier to subdue a society that is in ruins than when people are at each other's throat. Because then they can march in with their minions that are following them like General Honoré, you know, and, you know, have their way with us and ruin the rest of our hopes of ever returning as a nation with a republic and a constitution that codifies our God-given rights. I'm afraid, my good friends, that is absolutely gone unless we somehow, with the help of the Almighty, get it back. And I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but all I know is at this point in time, if we go to war with these jerks, they're going to stomp all over us because they have control of the United States military, not the people. And that's a very sad fact, but it is a fact. So anyhow, check out this video, you guys. Let me play this thing for you here. Behold, the product of the crypt, one of the octogenarians that rule your lives. Check out Nancy real quick and the rest.
Pelosi and her loathsome gang of geriatric globalism swindlers are so riddled with Trump derangement syndrome that they should all be carted off to a mental facility instead of wasting the taxpayers' time and money.
Really strong support in the country for us to have seek the truth, find the truth, but also understand how we have to protect the American people from what might be out there in terms of domestic terrorism and the rest.
But of course, they will be given a blank check to prolong the madness with the 9/11 style commission to investigate Trump's role and that of the role of American citizens in the Capitol riot on January 6th.
29 days ago, the glass in and around this very chamber was shattered by gunshots, clubs, by individuals seeking to restrain and murder members of Congress duly elected to carry out the duties of their office.
Let me just stop right there. You know, back in the days when I used to hang out in bars a lot more than I do now, you know, she would have been a good barkeep. She should go back to that.
Other idiots on other cable news channels that will say, well, you know, this mom and pop store was vandalized during the summer riots, and that's just as bad as the United States Capitol being vandalized. No, jackass, it's not.
It would be far better if we were having this hearing on Tuesday with a lot of information being returned. I mean, you know, testimony from the people that were involved, other than just news accounts. But right now, we're going to be going to that hearing with what we've read in the newspaper. And I guess what the House managers presented in, I don't even want to call it a trial.
There was a chance that Nancy Pelosi would have ended up being called as a witness. She did not want to be called as a witness because there is a substantial amount of evidence that she, as the presiding officer, was pre-warned of something might be happening on January 6th. And there is plenty of evidence to suggest that she was not doubling down on security on that day. And the former boss of the Capitol Police would have testified to that very point.
The actual 9/11 commission formed 18 years ago. During that investigation, the CIA withheld information regarding the 9/11 hijackers. Fast forward to today. Will Pelosi omit the fact that Schumer and herself, in league with the Sergeant at Arms, are involved in a cover-up of their role of the cause of the security breach of the Capitol on January 6th?
I think the police department at the Capitol was complicit. I dealt with those people when I was in the Pentagon on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and we used to provide military support to civil authorities for inauguration and major events inside the city of Washington. And that's a well-oiled machine. I call for all of them to be fired. And that is starting to happen. They're starting to fire them. But that was complicit. There's people inside the chain of command of that Capitol Police that allowed this to happen.
But I'm concerned about what they're laying the groundwork for here, what Nancy Pelosi is doing. I'm concerned that they continue to treat the January 6th catastrophe, that criminal riot, as an excuse to seize power, to control more power, to step on people's Second Amendment rights, to take away their First Amendment rights. Now we're hearing about a domestic war on terror. I mean, what's that going to be? An excuse to go rifle through the emails and bank statements and personal messages of law-abiding Americans? I mean, this is very, very frightening.
They already are doing it.
Pelosi and the Democrats are doing here, trying to consolidate power. It's dangerous.
And as the culture of fear grows, Donald Trump will poke the hornet's nest with an appearance at CPAC.
We're going to have a real battle for the soul of the Republican Party over the next couple of years. And we're going to say, are we going to be a party that would that can't win national elections again, that loses the presidency, the House and the Senate in a 4-year period and loses governors and state legislative bodies? Or are we somehow going to get back to a real traditional Republican Party, common sense conservatives that want to argue and put up, you know, to push for the things that we've always believed in and to try to compete with Democrats? Because I think that a competitive two-party system is so important to our democracy, and we're losing. There's no question about that.
Pelosi's commission will likely create targeted designations on patriots across the nation, continuing the damage the 9/11 commission did to American liberties.
Let me just stop. That jackass that just said we're losing, you know why we're losing? It's because there's no rule of law. There's no fair courts. There's theft left and right of everything that has to do with a ballot. And, you know, we didn't lose. They stole it, and everybody knows it. And no matter how much that butt-licking Republican says, is not going to change that fact. The whole American public knows it. So that guy is more disgusting than the left.
In years ago, dooming the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments into oblivion. John Bound reporting.
All right, you guys, I have a problem with, I cannot get my screen back. So I'm going to have to pause. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. I need to restart my dang computer. So there you have it. Let's see if maybe I can just close the studio and it'll come back. All right. Hang on, you guys. I have to get my picture back here. I don't know what's going on with my camera, but here we go again. Sorry, you guys. Start. No, I guess we're back live on Podbean. Sorry about that, you guys. All right. Thank you for your patience. And I am JD, your host, and thanks for being there. So yeah, anybody that thinks that, you know, Trump is the president of the American Republic. Now, let me qualify that statement before I go hammering on the Q folks again. If there was law and order, the rule of law, a judicial system, a justice department that were functioning, or even a military that had functioning, faithful leadership in this country, Donald Trump would be president at this right now, because he won the election. He got about 80 million votes. But the problem with that, even though really he is the duly elected president of the United States and he should be serving his second term right now, the problem is we have a total breakdown of every one of our governmental systems. It's just like the founders said. Ben Franklin came out of Liberty Hall in Philadelphia and told the woman, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it." And what Ben meant about that is five or so of the founders said this in one way or another, the following idea: our system of government is wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly inadequate unless men have honor. Now, obviously, not enough men in government, or women for that matter, but it's, you know, the vernacular of the day meant men or women, but there was no women in government in the day. So leaders have to have honor for our system to work. It's like you've got the office with the candy box there, right? And there's candy bars and chips in there, and there's a little slot in the cardboard box. And you're on your honor system to pay for something that you take out of there. We used to have one of those in a place that I worked until we didn't. And why did we end up not having it? Because people were taking snacks and not putting the money in there. In other words, there's no honor, not enough honor for even a candy box. So do you think there's going to be enough honor to run this nation? Or do you think that the globalist a-holes and the multinational corporate heads that have, 300-foot yachts that have way more power than our government, who is running those people who are in our government, whether we elected them or whether they are in the deep state bureaucracy, they don't have any honor. They sold us out a long time ago, decades ago. This is nothing new. What happened when we elected Donald Trump as president, because he is not one of those, he made it very obvious how bad this situation is. Hang on just one second. So anyhow, these people who are in our government do not have honor. That's why our system has failed. Every branch of government has failed the American people. Every branch within the branch of our government has failed us. The Justice Department is part of the executive branch. It has failed. The presidency has failed because it is bought out by China and other globalist forces. Big Pharma, et al. The legislative branch, same story. There's about, I can count on my one hand the amount of people that are in the legislature that are worthy of that position. That means there are, approximately 460 of them that don't belong there. And of those 460, about 400 of those people probably belong in state prison or federal prison. So the legislative branch has failed us. The judicial branch, will you give me an ever-loving break? They have failed us completely with their lack of courage to uphold their oath to defend and protect the Constitution against all enemies, just like the military. Now, I made a very strong statement on this program last week that caused all my viewers to go away. I have since checked that statement with many veterans who agree with me wholeheartedly. And these are veterans that were in high positions. In one case, a major in the Marine Corps. In another case, a guy higher than that. I don't know exactly his rank, but he was in military intelligence. Several others. I said last week that anybody in the United States military currently are in violation of their constitutional oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the reason I say that is because the enemies have taken over all the government, and our military is standing there taking orders from the enemy. That doesn't sound like defending the Constitution to me. Now, in all fairness to the people in the military, most of the people in there don't know that they are doing this, don't realize that the gravity of the situation. I get that. And there's heroes in our military. So I'm not trying to take away from these people. I'm just trying to tell you how much damn trouble we're in, because even our military doesn't realize how much trouble we're in. We've been taken over. The best thing we can do is live well, treat each other with kindness, love, and as much understanding as we can, as much charity as we can afford without cutting our own families short too bad. Try to lift each other up. Try to get involved at every local level of every kind of politics there is. Try to affect enough change to the system that when the 2022 primary season is, which is should be underway right now, gets in full swing, we actually have candidates that can displace the sellouts at all the local areas, because that's where they beat us, you guys. They beat us in our local governments. We all the time focus on who's in the White House and who's in the Congress and all that kind of stuff. Where they beat us is in your hometown, in your precinct, in your school system, in your little town. Your mayor has been bought by the globalists. Your governor, forget it. We have Doug Ducey. He's wholly owned subsidiary of all the globalist pharma, big pharma assholes. It's horrible. So these are where this is our best defense, because if we can hold on and they take and they don't put everybody like me with a big mouth in prison between now and then, or if they do put us all in prison, you guys that don't get locked up, go out there and carry the torch and make the changes that need to happen so that when we do have our next election in 22, we can actually get regular people in there that haven't sold us out, and maybe we can actually get real citizens back in our government so that we have a chance to restore parts of our Constitution and begin to unravel the hornet, the cobra pit that is Washington, D.C., K Street, J Street, all the criminals in Washington, District of Criminals. We need to go all silent Cal on these people. The president of the United States in the 1920s, his nickname is Silent Cal because he never said too much, but he did cut the federal government by 50%, which caused immediate prosperity. So that's what Trump should have done. Trump was a failed president in many ways, and one of the reasons he was a failed president, and I'm a big fan of Donald Trump, but he was a failed president, and here's why. When he went in office, he should have done what the left does every time they get power. Fire everybody. Fire every sumbitch in there that has been in there. Fire them all. That's what he should have done. And furthermore, when he found out that he got the election stolen from him, he should have packed all the agencies with patriots, just like Obama packed all the agencies with criminal communist sycophants of the New World Order. But no, we didn't fight fire with fire. Trump, gentleman that he is, he kind of laid back on all that stuff. So what happened to all the comments, you guys? Why aren't anybody commenting? But that's okay. I hope you're still listening if you're not commenting. So anyway, so in that way, our beloved president, the most loved president since George Washington himself, Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States, failed us because he was too nice. I'm not the only one that said that. CEO of Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne, was on a panel trying to see what they could do about the stolen election. He was not a Trump supporter. He's never voted for anybody but a libertarian in his life. He came away from working with Donald J. Trump with a total different attitude. And I can't speak for Patrick Byrne, but I bet you if President Trump runs again in 24, Patrick Byrne's going to vote for him. And he's never voted for anybody but a libertarian in his life. So I guess my point, and that is the reason I bring up Patrick Byrne is because he also was right next to Trump and said, you know, if he has a fault, he's too nice. And that's exactly what happened. President Trump did not want to rule with an iron fist. He did not want to go all Andrew Jackson on the court system. When President Trump was stopped, the president of the United States was halted by some jackass in a district court in Hawaii, for instance, one of the many times this happened. Donald Trump stood down and obeyed the court. That was a big mistake. Donald Trump should have said, just like Andrew Jackson said in his time, he says, I see your ruling, now enforce it. Because as you know, the Constitution gives the judicial branch no enforcement power, particularly over the United States president. Another mistake of Donald Trump, trying to do everything in the polite, respectful manner. What did he get for it? Well, he's got approximately 2,500 lawsuits pending against him right now. That's what he got for that. Now, if you don't think that's a mistake, maybe you ought to, you know, adjust your thinker a little bit. Because if he would have ignored these assholes who call themselves judges, who are nothing but Democrat and leftist activists, chances are he wouldn't have 2,500 lawsuits against him right now. So let me go down the list of, I didn't plan on this tonight's show to be let's pound on Donald J. Trump, but you know, for those idiots out there listening to me that think that, you know, like for instance, the first comment on the comments tonight was F Trump, some idiot on Periscope. Let me tell you something. Get over Trump. Because your problem is Biden right now, not Trump. And you better wake up to that fact, you dumbass. Trump was the least of your problems. Trump was on your side, even though you weren't on his, you dumbass. Biden works for the people that want to kill your ass. This is what really irks me. The moronic simpletons on the left don't get it. Now, I'm not being very Christ-like saying it like that, but I got to tell you, these people are just butt-ass stupid. I'm sorry. Now, what can we do about it? Well, with most of them, probably nothing. But if there's any of you lefties out there that have a shred of common sense left, please turn on your brain and realize you made a big mistake. I don't care that you didn't like Trump. That's fine. You didn't have to vote for him, but you shouldn't let your party steal the election. Because now these people are out to kill us. Look what's happened in Texas. They purposefully shut off all the power and water, and nobody can get any food. 50 people at least have died as a result of this. This is all your wonderful government in the federal, the energy department, working for you. You have dead people because of that. Why? Because Greg Abbott, a week before the cold weather, moved in, begged the federal government to allow them to fire up the coal plants because they knew they were going to need the power. Nope, Nope, you can't do that. So they let everything freeze and everything fail, and his stupid windmill's frozen, and they burn up more carbon with the helicopters trying to unfreeze the windmills than were the windmills ever saved as far as carbon emissions. If that's your idea, something you ought to be worried about, you know, carbon dioxide emissions. Oh, we can't have our plants that we eat breathe anything to sustain life on this world. Oh, no, carbon dioxide's poison. You idiots. Anyhow, people in Texas are dead. Gets over 105. Mark my friggin' words. California was the model with the rolling blackouts. Grayout, whatever the governor's name was, got recalled over that stuff. But that's when there was still a lick of sense in some Americans. Now, they've killing people in Texas because they wouldn't have let them power up. It takes time to power up those plants that were put in mothballs in favor of the stupid windmills. You know, and, you know, solar panels with 3 feet of snow on them don't put out much power either, do they? You idiots, you. Oh, no, let's not burn any natural gas. So, coming to a city near you, you're either going to freeze your ass off or you're going to sweat your ass off. Either way, weak people will die from this. Old people who can't take it will die from this. These jerks are trying to pare down the population one way or another, whether it be that way or whether it be with a cockamamie, let's call it medical tyranny. One way or the other, you know, if you're an old folk in a nursing home, your odds of surviving this latest onslaught aren't that great. You understand that, right? Oh, give it to me first, right here. Well, guess what, blue hair? They got your plot ready for you in this cemetery. Those of you that can't stand me telling the truth, you're welcome to, you know, hit the road. Because, but those of you that have never heard stuff like this before, stick around. Because maybe the couple of brain cells that you haven't damaged yet might bump into each other, and you might start saying, you know, that crazy old bastard with the beard might be, he might have a point there. Yeah, well, I hope so. Because you know what? The most uncommon thing we have in this current world is common sense. That's an oxymoron. Common sense. That term did not used to be an oxymoron. It is now, obviously. It's depressing. I'm not here to yell at you. I just get pissed off because I can't understand how people can be so damn stupid. The only reason they get away with this crap is because we're letting them. You know why? Because we're worried about feeding our kids, getting to our job if we still have one, that is. And we're worried about everyday life, how are we going to do it? And the big picture doesn't even get thought about many times. But I tell you what, I think that's changing, because anytime I bring any of this crap up in public, especially with strangers, I don't ever get an argument. Yeah, I know. It's crazy what's going on. You know, that's all I ever hear. Every once in a while, I find some person that doesn't get it. Like a dear friend of mine that I've known for, 30 years. Brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely in love with technology. Thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. All technology. Talking to him the other night, he says, I mean, AI, you got to watch out for who's in control of that stuff. You know, technology is great, but, you know, they ain't sticking no wires in my brain to wire me to the internet like Elon Musk wants to do. He said, oh, I'd sign up for that right away, he says to me. I said, well, to each their own, you know, but I sure as hell ain't going to do that. I'm not going to trade my humanity for convenience or coolness. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to become digitized. I'm going to keep track of my humanity until the day I don't draw another breath. Thank you very much, Elon or N et al. Okay. I'm not going to do it. And this guy is brilliant, man. I've known him forever. He's a wonderful guy. He's the biggest heart you ever want to know. And he's a smart guy. He supported the good guys in the last political go around and many times before that. And I laid on some figures on him about, did you know that more people died in 2017 than in 2020? How can you explain that in the light of what we're supposed to believe right now? If you don't believe me, check it out. More people in the United States of America died in 2017. In 2019, roughly adjusted for population increase, the same amount of people died in 2019 than in 2020. In light of what we're supposed to believe about what's medically going on in this country, how is that possible? Why is nobody dying from the flu or pneumonia or stroke or heart attack or cancer at anywhere near the rates that they have every other year before 2020? Nobody's asking that question because, like I said before, common sense is an oxymoron in this day and age. They're hiding the news of what's happening from people that are taking the jab. Somewhere between 5% and 10% of people in nursing homes are coming up dead. And that's pretty easy to cover up now, isn't it? Because if you're 88 years old, well, you know, you ain't buying any green bananas, you know what I'm saying? So they get to hide that stuff. I hope I'm being vague enough that I don't get another strike. We'll see what happens, guys. But anyhow, back to my friend. I did tell him these things, and he gave me that look. You know what that look? That look is that wry smile that, yeah, you're probably right, but I still don't believe that that has anything to do with I better just be safe and do what they tell me to do, that kind of smile. And, you know, God bless him. God, I hope he's right and I'm wrong. Okay. Just like all the other times I say that. About the only time I've been really, really wrong is, you know, I thought Donald Trump was going to be a two-term president. I had no idea that they would go get a. I knew what length they would have to go to in order to get away with what they did. I just didn't think that we were going to allow it. That's surely one of the stop gaps that are put to make sure fraudulent people don't get put in office would stop that from happening. And I was wrong about that. I was wrong about the degree of decay of our system. And in all fairness to myself, I think it's escalated exponentially in the last, 4 to 12 years. Beyond even a doomsdayer like me, estimation. All right. So, yeah, I was wrong. And so you people that believe in the Q, You might as well believe in the guy they called Q on Star Trek The Next Generation, because that guy's just about as real. Unfortunately, I'd love to believe that the military's in control. Don't worry. Trust the man, not the plan. I keep getting these videos sent to me by wonderful people, wonderfully beautiful people that believe in all things righteous and are patriots, and they're taken in by this garbage. And it makes me so sad, because I probably lose them as, you know, Facebook friends or listeners by pointing out the fact that these people that get on these videos and say, I can tell you for 100% certainty, my sources say the military is in control. Wow, buddy, I sure wish I had your confidence, because you know why? I went to D.C. on the 6th. I know there's been over 200 arrests for people, and many of them, you know, I'm not going to say anything else. Let's just say I was right there. I didn't go in. But, you know, I wish I had that guy's confidence that, oh, the military's in control. Now, I will concede the fact that the prison fence that is built around the Capitol complex sure as hell looks to me like it's designed to keep people in instead of keep people out. But you know what? It does both. So I don't know if that argument held any water. It is odd that they still want National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. I think they were hoping that people like me, when we said things like, well, we're going to storm the Capitol, you know what that meant to our crowd? That meant we're going to go there on the lawn and we're going to wave our flags and we're going to sing God Bless America. That's our version as Trump supporters of storming the Capitol. Our storming the Capitol is 500,000 people stand on the grounds and sing God Bless America. That's our version of storming the Capitol, because if our version of storming the Capitol is what they're trying to convince this nation it was, there would not be one block of marble or limestone on top of another. We would have took the whole building down. But no, we went there and sang songs. We passed a huge, massive flag that had to have 100 people hold it up all through the crowd. That's what we did. That's our version of storming the Capitol. We're called domestic terrorists because we went to D.C. to try to give a backbone to this, to the Republicans, to actually do the right thing and challenge a fraudulent election. But the left had it all planned, didn't they? Time Magazine had an article. They bragged about stealing the election in Time Magazine. So why would they do that? Well, just the same reason why a serial killer leaves clues for the detectives. Because they want to brag about their handiwork. That's what criminals do. These criminals that get away with something and nobody knows they did it, well, they can't have that. They got to have people know they want the credit. That's why all these globalist a-holes write their plans out before they actually do them. So if you're curious enough to do the research, the people that are in control of things right now have told everyone that they're going to do exactly what they're doing right now, shutting down everything and vertically integrate your assets into their bottom line and leave you with nothing and then say you're going to like it. Look up Klaus Schwab, the creator of the International what is that thing? The I'm thinking of the International Monetary Fund, but it's the Economic World Economic Forum in 1972, created by a guy with a German accent, Klaus Schwab, who has admittedly said they're using COVID restrictions to affect the Great Reset. What is the Great Reset? Well, they collapse everybody's economy, take your assets on the cheap, and then dole out what they think you need to survive if you're good and do what you're told. That's the Great Reset. That's what they're doing. That's why they hope we start shooting each other here in the United States of America, so it'll be much easier to take this country over. That's what's going on, not the Q garbage, okay? So President Trump, my friend, I hadn't had the gumption to do my research this week to find out if he was what his source was accurate or not. But the same friend that would like to get the Elon Musk wires in his head, he'd volunteer for that. He'd be the first in line, he told me. Also told me that he heard that Trump is going to run for Senate in Florida and displace. The plan is to displace, to get elected, A, and B, displace the turtle as and take the Senate and be the majority leader in the Senate. Wouldn't that be special? Majority leader Donald J. Trump of the United States Senate. Now, when we take when the Democrats lose the House, I'm not going to put myself in the group called Republicans, because those people are filthy, stinking cowards. And I don't even like to use the term Republican anymore and associate myself with those, because there's only a few of them that are worthy of being in office. But I digress. What I'm trying to say is I heard that Donald Trump is going to run for Senate in the state of Florida. The plan is to take back the Senate, and Donald wants to be elected majority leader. And then, of course, we'd have the United States Senate operating at the speed of Trump for about a year until he starts campaigning for president again in 2023, late 2023, hopefully. He'll wait and only campaign for a year. He doesn't need to run around the globe for a year and 2 years like the rest of them do, because all Trump would have to do is campaign for 6 months, and he'd get, if we fix our election system, he'll get 45 states. I think he got 45 states last time. If we had a free, fair, accurate, and election, Donald Trump won 45 states with 80 million votes. That's what the extrapolated estimates are from the mathematicians who have analyzed this 7 ways to Sunday. The people have done all the mathematical models that exclude all the fraudulent crap that happened on all the different levels. Donald Trump won 45 states with 80 million votes. That is the conclusion of the people that do that for a living. So it's reasonable to assume that if Mr. Trump ran again in 2024, that would be the result if we somehow miraculously fix our election system so that one man, one woman, one vote, and it counts. If that happens, Donald J. Trump will be the 47th president of the United States. Wow, those are some big ifs. Somehow we got to actually assume that there's ever going to be another free and fair election in the United States of America. It's kind of hard to believe that there is, because ever since 2000, the fraud has been on an exponential curve. Now, it lumbered along at a low level for a long time, gradually going up. 2000, it started this. 2020, it's on a sharp incline. Now, unless something major happens, that incline is going to go past the point of no return, where the uniparty system doesn't matter who you vote for. They're going to put in whoever they want because they just manipulate all the numbers, and whichever one they want, whether they want the Republican or they want the Democrat, they're going to put them in office. No matter how many votes either one of them got, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, after all, that's what they did this time. I mean, they're probably 25 million off on the vote count in the wrong direction. If they can get away with that in your face, is it reasonable to think they're going to quit? Oh, they're just going to stop doing it now because the rest of us are just sitting on our ass and it's waiting for it to happen again, just like we did between November 3rd and January 4th or whatever, whenever the Georgia Senate election was when they stole the Senate. We just sat on our ass and let it happen. We're going to sit on our ass for the next 2 years and let them steal the next election, too. That's what's going to happen. Nobody gives a shit. A crazy old man warning you doesn't know nothing. I've been screaming about this stuff for decades. Nobody listened to me. Here we are with a extreme leftist idealists following the criminal globalist corporations and people like Bill, fiends like Bill Gates, who pretends to be your doctor and know everything that's right for you. Yet, meanwhile, he holds all the patents and all the problems he creates. And they put the mom and pop businesses out of business. Meanwhile, they already have 300-400 million. They just double that in a year because, you know, they vertically integrate all your assets into their own. Pretty good plan if you're one of the, you know, top 20 people that get the benefit of that. The other 7 billion of us can go straight to hell, according to them. But yeah, he's doing it for your own good. You believe that, right? Bill Gates is doing everything he does because he loves people so much. That's why he's literally banned from over 30 countries from entering. Where do you get your information? Just read, for God's sake, and stop listening to this idiotic freaking Fox News and all the other idiots that won't tell you the truth. They're bar off, people. Even Newsmax. There's some good people on Newsmax, and there's some good people on Fox. But by and large, corporate media is bought off big effing time. I don't know how true it is, but I heard a rumor there was a poll on Bill Gates' popularity. He has a 99% disapproval rate. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. I didn't do the research. But anyway, I want to believe that's true because that gives me a glimmer of hope. Because 99 of 100 people don't like Bill Gates, that means some people know what the hell's going on. And if that's a fact, that maybe there's a chance that we can get enough people to do the right things to do something about it before we kill each other, which is what all these multinational corporation heads and Big Pharma and the Davos guys and all that crap, they want us to start a civil war and eliminate. They want us to do their heavy lifting for them by killing each other off so they can come in and mop up and rule over the ruins. That's the plan, you guys. That's why I opened the show by saying, keep your powder dry. Because while our United States military leadership are traitors that will not defend the Constitution of the United States, we don't have those guys to back us up right now. I wish I was wrong about that. Now there goes the viewership down again. Listen, I'm talking about the traitors. Obama systematically rid the United States military of all the combat generals and higher-ups while he was in office. I remember screaming about that. So now many of the people at the top, if not all, are literally activists, leftists, globalist politicians. Look, we all loved the fact that Trump put the dream team of generals in on his cabinet, right? Look how good that worked out for us. Piece of crap, mad cow Mattis. You know, not loyal to the United States, but loyal to the globalists. Hater of Donald Trump, went in there to stop Trump's agenda. The guy we elected as commander-in-chief hired this former general to come in there, and this former general tried to stop Trump at every turn and poison everything he was doing. He had me fooled. I thought Mattis was a hero. How about the chief of staff, Baldy, there? That piece of crap. I can't think of his name right now. Mick something or other. What a jerk. Trump is surrounded by traitors, his whole administration. They may not have literally thought of themselves as being traitorous by supporting the globalists instead of the commander-in-chief that the American people put in charge. But they were de facto traitors. Because right now, we are under siege. The United States government is a wholly owned subsidiary of a globalist cabal that includes the Chinese Communist Party, Big Pharma, Bill Gates, George Soros, the International Monetary Fund, the International Bankers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, people that are in the Bilderbergers. These are the people that run things, not Joe Biden. I'm sorry, Biden friends. He doesn't rule over anything. He is a shell of what he used to be, which was just nothing but a no good criminal. But he doesn't even have a mind anymore. He's a mindless puppet of all the people I just went down the list of. Good job, Democrats. Steal election from a real president, the only one we've had since Ronald Reagan. And put in this piece of crap so he can take your job, shut your water off, shut your power off, kill your ass. Good job, idiots. Oh, but you know what? Let's look at the bright side. Trump isn't tweeting anymore, so, you know, mission accomplished. Way to go, idiots. Yeah, Trump's not tweeting anymore, so you should just rejoice in your choice of what you did to steal the election from us. You frickin' morons. And I started this show out hammering this shit out of Donald J. Trump for all the mistakes he made. So if you think I'm a Trump sycophant, you got another thing coming. He made a lot of mistakes. He had the power to shut off all the criminal activity so that they couldn't steal the election. He didn't do it. His ego got in the way when he said, oh, they won't block me on social media. I don't have to worry about that. I'm Donald J. Trump. How's that working for you, Mr. President? Back on Twitter yet? Yeah. Oh, how's your Facebook page doing, Mr. President? Good move, ignoring social media, ignoring the fact that they're so ubiquitous, there might as well be a utility. But there's the libertarian conservative argument. Well, it's a private company. We can't tell them what to do. You morons. They have far more power than your government. You think that's what you need? Try using some common sense. Try getting things back in balance. Try cutting these corporations that are ruling everything down to size so that we actually do have control of our government. Right now, there's about probably 50 people that decide everything that happens in this world. That's because all of us as Americans think that it's okay to let companies like Facebook that have 3 billion people's data to do whatever the hell they want with, have control of what our government gets to say and what it doesn't say. Anybody that's a senator that say anything like I am, they get cut off, kicked off of social media. Who died and left Mark Zuckerberg God? You know, I thought we had God-given rights of free speech. Oh, unless Mark Zuckerberg says you can't say that. We got free speech unless Zuckerberg and company disapproves of what you have to say. Sundar Pichai and all the rest of them. Nothing but puppets of the globalist. Read the Time magazine expose of themselves. Because the criminals have to brag about their crime. Because if they don't get credit for it, they want you to know how genius they are. Read the Time magazine article where they brag about stealing the 2020 election. You see, that's how psychopaths get caught. They've got big egos. After all, they're doing what they're doing to get attention. So if they get away with it, nobody notices. They can't stand that. So they brag about it. Read the Time magazine article. How we saved, in big quotes, saved the 2020 election. Well, I don't know how long I'll be able to sit here and rant on these platforms. But I'm hoping, you know, that I seem to be sort of flying under the radar unless I mention certain words. And I've already got a strike against me on my YouTube channel, my Facebook page. I'm not allowed to boost posts, and they have said, we have severely limited your distribution. No kidding. Got freaking 8 people watching me live right now on Facebook. Used to be at least 100 to sometimes 300 live. That's without any promotion. So I know, and I get emails. Where'd you go? I used to get notifications when you came live. Well, they stopped that. So I want to go back on radio too, so that that seems to be harder for the cabal to edit. Censor, you know, folks that want to tell the truth and get the message out and want to challenge these people and compete for the hearts and minds that are not awake to what's going on. Which brings me to the man that anybody that's ever had any kind of a show to do with politics, current events, on any platform, has to tip their hat to, and that is the late, great Rush Limbaugh. I know you're sick of hearing about it, which is why I didn't lead with the subject that we lost Rush, I believe on Monday. That was his last broadcast was on Groundhog Day. How weird is that, right? But cool and weird at the same time. Yeah, Rush was one of those guys that, you know, there's only one of. They're not going to be able to replace him no matter how hard they try. Of course, that goes for every individual on this planet, you know, but Rush was quite gifted in the area of broadcasting an extemporaneous speech. Because if anybody thinks it's easy to come on a radio every day for 3 hours without a script and be cogent, coherent, prescient, witty, funny, entertaining, correct, that's one hell of a task. Well, Rush was one of those guys that could do that. They didn't like to ask Rush to speak because he could never get his ass off the stage because he always had something more to say, and he'd always come back around to where he started, full circle, never lost track of things like that. He was a wonderful guy. He's everybody that has ever done a talk show has to tip their hat to the king of talk radio. The wonderful, beautiful heart, Rush Limbaugh, you will always be in the hearts of minds of thoughtful Americans for doing what you did for us. Because if you didn't do what you did when you did it, we'd all be in the gulag by now, my friend Rush, up there, wherever you are now. I hope you hear me. It's because of you, we have a fighting chance to someday take this republic back by hook or by crook. One time I was invited to the screening of here in Arizona of one of Dinesh D'Souza's great documentaries called Hillary's America. I was invited as a member of the media to come to that screening. And I had the honor of meeting Rush Limbaugh's nephew, who was the musical director of that documentary, a pianist, real tall kid, man. He's, he must have been 6'5", curly dark hair, soft-spoken, wonderful young man. Philip. Is it Philip? I think his name is Philip. Could be wrong about that. But he was a nice, gracious young man, and it was my honor to meet Rush's relative. That's my only Rush story, you guys. Never called in, never tried to call in the Rush Limbaugh show, never sent Rush an email. Well, maybe one when he's sick. I think I might have sent him one. But Rush Limbaugh, the greatest radio broadcaster ever. There's a few that are nearly as notable as Rush, but not people that were on the air every weekday for 3 hours. You know, Paul Harvey comes to mind. But I would put Rush over Paul Harvey in greatness, although I love Paul Harvey, and he was around for a long time in the beautiful man, a beautiful patriot, always made you think. My father introduced me to Paul Harvey in about 1973, the rest of the story. Yeah, Paul Harvey is awesome too, but I have to say, Limbaugh, I it made me cry when I heard that he died. I had tears in my eyes. I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. But it really left a big hole in my heart because I know what he did for us as a nation. He wasn't always right. I used to pick at him because I hate the little jags, side points he'd make and emphasize that too much instead of the main point. He used to irritate the shit out of me. That was his style. You know, he did what he did. Who am I to criticize a guy who woke up hundreds of millions of people in this time to the fact that we're in deep trouble? So the other Rush story I have is, forget what the year was, but it was, geez, it had to be really early 90s, 91, 92, something like that. I'm listening to the radio at work. I'm listening to this guy that I never heard before. I go, man, that son of a gun's in trouble. You can't say that stuff on the radio. I'm thinking to myself, and there, you guessed it. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's talking about feminist this and, you know, politically incorrect stuff that up until then, you weren't allowed to say that stuff on the radio. Rush was the first one that had the guts to do it and somehow remain on air, partly because 1987, Ronald Reagan had, you know, changed the SEC's policy called the Fairness Doctrine. Fairness, yeah. Yeah, don't let the free market determine what radio shows are successful. No. You have to give the leftist equal amount of time on the radio. That's fair. Even though nobody wanted to listen to that, and radio was damn near dead because of it. So Limbaugh comes around after the Fairness Doctrine was rightfully omitted from the regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. And Rush was the guy that popularized speaking your mind boldly and truthfully and logically to the American people. God bless you, Rush Limbaugh. Thank you for everything you did. And I hope that you can hear all of us down here and all of our gratitude. Everybody is spewing gratitude for you, my friend, Rush. You touched everyone that I know's heart in one way or another. Even people that didn't like your message recognized your prowess as a thought leader, a broadcaster, and truly deserving. One of the few people that get that medal that the president gave you, Rush, truly deserve of the Medal of Freedom. If I've ever seen an appropriate person to receive that award, it was, in fact, Rush Limbaugh. And I thank Donald Trump for recognizing that as well. So I had to give Rush his due on this little program. You know, I would have never done radio myself if it wasn't for Rush. But, you know, I hear local idiots, including station-owning idiots, comparing themselves to Rush Limbaugh. It's the funniest goddamn thing I ever heard. I listened to this guy in the Phoenix area on the radio the other day, going down the list of great broadcasters. And then adding his name to that list. I literally busted out laughing, almost wrecked my frickin' Jeep, okay? Because this guy, if you ever listen to this guy, and I'm not going to mention his name because, you know, who knows? I might be on his radio station again sometime. But I got to say, if you ever listen to his show, him putting himself in the same sentence as the guys he mentioned, including and especially the great Rush Limbaugh. Oh my God, this guy. Talk about delusions of grandeur, okay? That's the king of it right there. Now, maybe he didn't mean to put himself in the same league, but the way it came out of his mouth, that's just exactly what he did. And it's a technique for radio hosts to talk, you know, brag about their prowess of broadcasting more than what it is, because the fact of the matter is, if you act as if, it ends up being that way, even if it has to catch up, okay? So maybe it was a case of that. But let me just tell you something. If it were me going down the list of greats and I felt compelled to add my name to that, I would say, you know, and in the very tiniest degree, some little spark I would have hoped to have learned from Rush. You know, I would have put myself, if I included myself in that list, I would have done so with the greatest of humility, rather than just let it hang out there like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. And it's nobody even knows who's this guy's name, even though he's on every day now. And the reason is because if you ever listen to his show, he really sucks. Not just a little bit. So not to bag on, any independent radio station owner, I should be saluting, but this guy putting himself in the same category as Rush Limbaugh, will you give me a break? God help us. That's why one of the reasons we're in so much trouble. Anyhow, enough of that. I got to tell you, my friends, it is with the utmost sadness that I bring you the commentary that I bring you. I think the chat's broken because usually by now I got about 60 comments and nobody's commenting, which is strangely disconcerting. But I hope you're still out there. And it does not give me any pleasure to bring you dire and grave news about the condition of our republic. It gives me no pleasure to say things that will hurt my good friends that still believe the Q disinformation feed from the deep state. Gives me no pleasure to try and give you the red pill about these things. It might sound like I'm giving you a black pill about everything. No, because you know what? There's a force in the universe that beats every single thing that's happening to us, no matter how ugly, no matter how pathetic, no matter sickening, the Satan-worshipping, pedophile, child-torturing a-holes in the system of things. And yes, that's part of the Q line, but now I've been talking about that long before there was any Q. Okay, so it's not that they came up with that as a revelation, you know. That's part of the truth that was injected into the PSYOP in order to get people to come along. And everybody's known about that ever since, you know, the first time we heard about Jeffrey Epstein, which is what, 15 years ago? At least that's when I first was clued into the fact that we've got evil forces behind the scenes torturing at least underage women. I never thought I'd see a day where, you know, we have to defend NAMBLA now because, of course, there's, you know, man, boy, love. That's an important thing to protect according to the culture we're in now, right? It makes me sick in my stomach to even think about these people that endanger children. These people that take little boys and cut their balls off and give them injections and try to turn them into biological girls. Because, you know, after all, children are these trendy parents', you know, accessories, not, you know, little souls that are developing that were sent here, you know, for a mission by God. You know, these trendies treat their children as the little accessories. Virtue signal. I'm going to virtue signal. I'm going to have my little boy's balls cut off and call him a girl. Doesn't that make me popular and trendy? I'm popular now amongst all the trendies. I cut my little boy's balls off. Aren't I special? That's the world we live in. So it doesn't give me any pleasure to talk about this. I'm trying to tell you, this is what's going on around you. Wake up, people. These people are psychopaths. and all the virtue signaling going on revolving around our quote unquote medical situation now. Put 3, 4, 5 of them on your face. You know, look, you're more righteous than the next person. Your righteousness and your virtue depends on how many of those things you put on your face. How did we get so fucking stupid? How did that happen? I don't get it, man. You know, I was in a crowd of a million people, shoulder to shoulder, in horribly cold, windy, nasty weather in the District of Criminals. I didn't even get a cold, let alone, you know, 91 DVOC. And I'm old and I'm overweight and I'm not in very good health. Ah, oh, we have a great visitor at the end of this edition. I have to show you the great Von Weehunt's comments. I totally agree, JD, on the local Rhino radio host nationwide and in Phoenix, saying that only they are the heir apparent to Rush Limbaugh. Unbelievable, man. The world we live on in, LOL. Thank you, General Weehunt, the great Von Weehunt show on Von. Give us your contact information so people can listen to your broadcast, your multicast. So put that in the comments, Vaughn. Great to have you in the audience, my good friend. Another radio colleague of mine joining us in the wee minutes of this week's edition of Article 5 Live. Vaughn, you interrupted my train of thought. You're one of the few people that are even capable of doing that. Except for my wife and you, you're about the only two. Maybe there's a couple others. So anyway, these cretins, these pedophiles, these pieces of crap that want to cut their sons and, you know, they want to change their little girls into boys. They want to change their little boys into girls. They want to say that, you know, pedophilia is a, you know, they have the same civil rights. Pedophiles have the same civil rights as everybody else. I mean, this is where we are, folks. Ever since idiot conservatives lost the argument, I'm not even going to say it, about marriage, because they were too afraid to stand up to be politically correct. And I have married gay friends. Literally, I'm not just saying that. But when they said they don't have the right to get married, we should have the right to marry whoever we love. Well, yeah, but government doesn't belong in the marriage business to begin with. That's the fundamental problem. Because marriage was around long before our idiotic government was. So it's not a covenant that the government should have jurisdiction over. So therein lies the argument that was totally missed. The great Barry Young, former local broadcaster in the Arizona territory, made that point succinctly for years. The government does not belong in the marriage business. It's not their business. That's absolutely correct. So there you have it, my friends. Here on Article 5 Live, we're going to put another one in the books. Boys and girls, I want to thank you for your attention. Thank you for your listenership. I am truly honored by it. Love each and every one of you. May you have the best of health and fortune. And may the good Lord be good to you and your family. Be good to your neighbors. Be good to your lefty buddies. Because we are not the judge of their righteousness. But we, patriots of this great nation, know what is right and what is wrong. Please continue the good fight in spite of the grim outlook, because you know what? America has its way of pulling a rabbit out of the hat on the darkest hour. So keep the faith, do the right thing, keep your powder dry, do not be goaded into violence by any of these cretins. So, may God bless you and your family and continue to bless us here in the United States of America. Stay warm, stay safe. We'll see you next time on Article 5 Live.